Good evening, everybody. Glad you made it out. Anybody feel like it's cold outside? Yeah, getting there a little bit. Well, I'm always so thankful to have the opportunity to share at Heart of the Bay Christian Center. It is an honor. I really honor this pulpit and our pastors who are here, Pastor Mark and Brenda. Love you guys. Thank you so much for trusting me with this. Thank you, Pastor Nancy and Pastor Tom, for your service tonight. Thank you so much. Well, actually, did you guys hear my wife's testimony on Sunday? Was that pretty awesome or what? Good job, baby. Yeah, come here for a second, honey. Yeah, you know what? There's a commandment in the Bible that you know, people have not done really well as far following God's commands. They've actually done really horrible as far as following God's commands. But actually, one of the first commandments people have been really good at, and that was be fruitful and multiply. And so actually, Evelyn and I have an announcement to make. We're actually going to answer that commandment, and we are being fruitful and multiplying. There is a bun in the oven. We are having a baby. Yay, yes. And I hope the baby looks like my wife. Love you, sweetie. Yeah. How does this happen? How does it happen? Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love for us. Thank you, mighty King, for this time of year that we get to celebrate the incarnation of Jesus, the Son of God, coming into the earth to take on flesh so that he would have a body to present to you, God, as a sacrifice, Lord, to purify us from all of our sin, to wash us free from all guilt, so that we can not only be cleansed, but so we can become children of the living God. Thank you, Father God, for this time of year. We remember that Jesus is the true reason for this season. And we honor you tonight, faithful King, the King of glory. We give you glory and honor this evening. Hallelujah. It is because of you that we are here, mighty God. So I ask, Lord, that you would have your way tonight, that you would be glorified in this message, that you would strengthen us all to walk close with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Has anybody ever heard of C.S. Lewis before? Do you know who C.S. Lewis is? Well, he had this quote. If I don't get it right, I'll pull out my phone. But he said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not because I see its light, but because by it I see all things. Not just that he sees the sun, but by the light of the sun, he sees all things. You know, for us, when we come into the kingdom of God and we come to know Jesus, we see Jesus, we get a glimpse of his beauty and his love, and we give our lives to him, saying we no longer want to live for ourselves, we want to live for him. And then not only do we see his light, but it is by his light and by looking at Jesus that we see all things. When you come to Jesus, it should completely flip upside down your worldview. It should completely change the way we see the world around us. You know, when John the Baptist came on the scene, what was he preaching? He was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's saying, turn away from the way you have been living. Turn away from walking in the ways of this world and turn to walk in the higher ways of God. And you know what Jesus actually came preaching when he first started? John the Baptist came, made the way. Jesus comes on the scene and he takes John the Baptist's message. No, Jesus starts preaching the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Stop living the same way you used to live. Come live in this higher way of God. And Jesus showed us that higher way. And he made a way and empowered us by his spirit and by us being born again to walk in the new way of God, the higher ways of God. And so we get saved and we come to God and we have this awesome experience where, whoa, I feel love like I've never experienced before. I feel accepted and I feel clean. Thank you, God. Wow. No more guilt. No more condemnation. I'm now a child of God and I have a relationship with him. But you know, as we come into the kingdom of God and as we begin to live this life, a lot of times things can pop up that try to distract us from the ways of God. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus speaks about the sower sows the seed. The sower goes out and he sows the word on different soil. Remember, the seed is the word, the soil is the heart, and The heart determines what is produced from the word, actually. What kind of heart, what kind of soil did this seed land upon? And so there's some soil that is actually in Mark 4 and verses 18 and 19. And I think this actually describes a lot of where Christians could get held up. These are the people who believe the word of God. They've accepted it and they love it. But then they experience this. Do we have the scripture up there? It says, now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Go ahead and go to the next one. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So what are these things that come in and choke the word? It's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. You know what this sounds like to me? It sounds like distractions. Distractions come in. They love the word. These people love God, but these distractions come in and they choke the word. And they keep the seed from producing so that this seed is not having any fruit. Do you know in John chapter 15, Jesus says that he is the vine and we are the branches. And he said that it is to the Father's glory that we bear much fruit. But it's going to be hard to bear fruit when there was weeds growing up and choking the word in our life. And what were the weeds again? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. So what are these cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust for other things? They're not necessarily all bad things, but they're things that could grow up to crowd out your time with the Lord. They're things that could grow up to start taking the place in your life that should be set apart for God. Do you guys know we were never meant to do this life alone? We were never meant to do this life apart from God. We are actually designed to abide in the vine, to live vitally connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way we could live this life successfully apart from that. And if you're a Christian and you claim Christ and yet you're not spending that time in him, then you're going to be miserable. Because we were never meant to do this life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We were not meant to get saved and say, okay, I said a prayer, I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart, and then just continue to go on living the same way we've always lived. And spending our time the same way we've always spent it. We were meant to live a life focused on Jesus. To live a life focused upon him. That he is the light by which we see all things. That I no longer look at my spouse the same way that I used to. I no longer look at my job the same way that I used to. I no longer look at the people that annoy me and frustrate me and talk bad about me and slander me. I don't even look at them the same way anymore. When I came to Christ, the light of the gospel in the face of Christ shone upon me and it lit up everything around me. So now my whole worldview has changed. And now I see things in a different light because of Jesus. Amen. And we're meant to live a life fully dependent and reliant upon him. You know, that's what it means to live by faith. That you're not trusting in your own ability. The Bible describes it as the arm of the flesh. But now we're living a life trusting in God. Knowing that there's no way I could live this life successfully apart from him. If you've heard of John Bevere, that's how he defines the fear of the Lord. Yes. That you're just, I can't do this without him. There's no way I could succeed without him. I don't want to do anything that offends him because I know that I need him. So as we live this Christian life and we're walking with God, there's a lot of things in life. We have family, we have kids, we have our workplace, we have friendships, there's parties to go to. During this time of year, things can get a little bit busy, right? There's all these different things to go to and to plan for, all these meals that need to be cooked, and presents that we need to buy. And in the midst of all this stuff that we are doing, we could actually lose sight of the reason for the season. Yeah. When we're caught up in everything else that everybody's doing, We could find ourselves not spending that time with the Lord on a daily basis. We could find ourselves pushing these things farther and farther back and just focusing on everything right in front of us. And so I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about how your focus will determine your life and how it could determine your life for the better or for the worse. So I'm going to give you three D's, okay? So the first one is distraction, okay? I'll go ahead and list them out for you so you see where I'm going. Distraction can lead to distortion, and distortion can lead to deception. So the distractions are what we've been talking about. These things that could come in and they could crowd out the time that you would normally spend with God. You got marriage, kids, finances, friends, family, work, vacations, just a lot of life. But then there's also the temptations that we deal with as well, right? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There are also things that we're kind of dealing with the flesh with. It wants what is not in line with the will of God. And we got to put that down as well. And so these distractions could come in and they could pull us away from time with God. And if we allow them to, and we find ourselves slowly slipping, and we're starting to realize, I don't have the peace that I was walking in before. Why am I so frustrated now? Man, everybody is on my last nerve. I'm irritated. When I think about the future, instead of having hope now, I'm worried. I'm frustrated. I don't know what to expect, and I'm wondering and I'm worrying, how are things going to work out? When I'm looking at my bills, I'm starting to be freaked out about, how am I going to pay these things when there's too much month at the end of my money? And you start to feel worry start to crowd in, when before you were living without a care and you're just trusting in God. But now you're seeing there's a little bit of a slow fade happening because the time with the Lord is starting to be neglected. And maybe the focus is starting to get off. And we're looking at things in a way that is blurry now. Yeah, and so as the distortion starts to come in and things are getting blurry, our mindsets begin to change. And we start thinking, it's all about me now. And my family. And our happiness. And it's real subtle. It's not like you're wanting bad things. You're just really focused on your own happiness or lack thereof. And it starts to turn into always planning the next thing for me to do so I can be happy. Or I'm going to spend my time doing this because this makes me feel good. Or I just need to relax, so I'm going to turn on Netflix. Or I'm going to go onto social media and just scroll and scroll and scroll. And this time that we used to dedicate to God begins to get crowded out by ourselves. Mm-hmm. Or by the people that we're trying to make happy. So we're spending a lot of time trying to please them. And we're spending a lot of time trying to please ourselves. And we feel like, you know what, I'm not doing anything really wrong. I'm not doing anything really bad. But we're noticing our peace is waning. And our joy tank is running low. And things are starting to get distorted. And then we begin to start making excuses for compromising. In this place of distortion, excuses start coming in. Yes. We find ourselves slipping up in different ways. Now we're starting to talk differently than how we were when we were saved at first, maybe. Sure. Now we're starting to speak. Negativity is coming out of our mouths all the time. Maybe cuss words are slipping out. Maybe when before we would hold our tongue when somebody irritated us, now when they irritate us, we just let them have it. And we tell them everything that they are and all about their mama too. There's a slow fade that begins to happen. And we see that there's a change inside of me and we're feeling just unsettled, but we're not really sure why. Why do I feel like this? Why? What is going on? And it's so subtle, you could start to lose sight of. It's because I become really internally focused on myself and maybe overly focused on the people around me and pleasing the people around me, that I am neglecting time with the one to whom I belong. That I'm neglecting time with my Savior, who is the wellspring of righteousness. I'm neglecting time with the one that I was made to abide in. I'm neglecting time with the one who is peace. I'm neglecting time with Jesus, who is my wisdom, my righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And I hardly recognize that the time has faded now. And I am frustrated, and I'm focusing on everything else, all the cares, all the worries, all the deceitfulness of riches. And I'm neglecting my time with Him. And I'm not really seeing that the fruit in my life is starting to wither. And I'm not producing. And is there a difference anymore between how I'm living now and the way that I used to live? And as we live in this place, stress begins to build up. And you start looking for relief in areas where you knew better than doing that before. Now you're frustrated with your spouse, and you start talking to old people online that maybe you spoke with a long time ago, that maybe there was an attraction there. You start opening up and you start flipping through websites that you haven't visited in a long time to gratify the flesh. Before, when you had a problem with alcohol before and you let it go, and now you find yourself just, you know what, a little bit doesn't matter. Well, maybe a little bit more. I just need to take the edge off. And you find yourself drinking a little bit more and a little bit more, or a substance that you had, and you're like, just a little bit, just maybe an extra pain pill or an extra this pill, or maybe just an extra smoke of this. I just need some relief. I just need something to take away the stress. And the people around me that you were spending so much time with before to make them happy, and doing all these things to try to make you happy, you start feeling miserable. And now you're starting to look for happiness and contentment in other places. Things are getting distorted. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of the enemy's schemes. And I think this is a scheme that gets in there when people don't realize that it's a slow fade. People don't just turn away from God in a moment. People, they live a life where they're endeavoring to do things right. They begin to get distracted and other things start taking priority. And now they're not going to church anymore. Now they're not hanging out with their Christian friends anymore. And now everything in life begins to switch back to the way that it was before. And it's so subtle, you can hardly even see that it's happening. Things are getting distorted, and things could eventually go to a place of deception. You guys, stick with me. We're going to end on a high note, okay? We're going to end on a high note. Stick with me. So this place of distortion could end up, if we continue in there, we could end up in a place of deception. And this is a horrible place to be. Because before you were trying to excuse the wrong behavior. And now in this place of deception, you are justifying what you want knew for certain was wrong. You are justifying it. You are feeling hardened within. Before, you were sensitive. When you did something wrong, ooh, you felt it on the inside. The Holy Spirit convicted you. But as you continue to step over the line, as you continue to play around near the edge, now that conviction is waning because your spiritual senses are becoming dull. And now you've come into a place where the Bible talks about your conscience being seared. And now you're not even feeling the Holy Spirit's prompting, and you're justifying what you know is wrong. I'm not happy with my spouse. Now this person makes me happy. There's nothing wrong with pornography. You know what? My family would be better off without me. I'm leaving. Outbursts of rage, lying, cheating, stealing, greed, heartlessness and ruthlessness. We find ourselves not only neglecting God, but rebelling against them. And when we hear somebody bring the truth up, when somebody's in this place of deception, and now they hear the truth, when they once loved this word and they loved the truth, now they feel offended by it. And they're mad when somebody speaks the truth to them. When somebody shares the truth, even in love, and comes, hey, come on, God has something better for you than that. Come on, you know better than that. Come on, don't give up. Don't give in to all this stuff. God has so much better for you. And they become frustrated in this place of deception because they're digging their heels in because they just want to do what makes them feel good. And it's a sad thing, and I have seen it happen in the church, sadly, on several occasions, where people who were leaders in the church, it comes out that they are having an affair. And you're thinking, how does this happen? How does this happen? It doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow fade because they are not abiding in the vine. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. Go ahead. For he who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see, when there's this constant sowing to the flesh, I just need relief, I'm just going to do this, I'm going to look at everything else besides the presence of God, we are sowing to the flesh and we are reaping corruption because of it. Everything is becoming distorted and we are unable to see. I used to work at Olive Garden. And as I'm working, I can't even take credit for this, you guys, because it was in my heart in just a moment. Do you guys know Jesus can rap? I'm just saying. Wait till you hear this. I had no idea. I'm just walking. I'm walking into the kitchen at the Olive Garden in Fremont. And then, boom, this drops in my heart. And I'm like, well, I'm going to write that down. That was pretty good. Jesus, you can rhyme. And it was this. The enemy offers a counterfeit to make you forfeit the legitimate. But what you need to do is say no to it, recognizing that it came from the pit of hell and not from the God who does all things well. So the enemy, let me get a little more water. The enemy offers a counterfeit. A counterfeit is something that's claiming to be real, but it's not. It's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things. Why does it say deceitfulness of riches? Why do you use that terminology? Is it wrong to be rich? It's not wrong to be wealthy. It's actually part of the blessing of God. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he has no sorrow to it. Amen? But he talks about the deceitfulness of riches. It is this counterfeit. It is the world saying, if you are rich, then you're going to be happy. Then you're going to be content. Then all your problems will be solved. But you're looking to this stuff and it starts to take the place of God in your life. That's why it's deceitful. It's promising everything, but it delivers so little. And so all these things, they are counterfeit. The enemy offers a counterfeit to make you forfeit, to make you give up the legitimate thing. Right? The presence of God, the blessing of God, the goodness of God offers a counterfeit to make you forfeit the legitimate. But what you got to do, what we need to know is to say no to the counterfeit and recognizing it came from the pit of hell and not from the God who does all things well. You guys, if you will continue with the Lord, if we will readjust our focus, no matter how deep we've gone into sin, no matter how deep we've gone into the wrong direction, if we will do what John the Baptist said, if we will do what Jesus said, and if we will turn and repent and turn to God, he'll turn our darkness into light. And he will raise you up from the depths of despair. And he will set your feet upon a rock. He will raise you up and you will sit with princes. He is the God of restoration. And no one can save like our God can save. As far as you have gone, God will make a way out. You see, when you turn your focus to Jesus, he calls you to such a higher place. Let me tell you something. Christianity is not about you fixing yourself. A lot of people, they work so hard on fixing themselves and they mess themselves up, you guys. I was one of them. In trying to fix myself, man, I messed up my emotions. I didn't even know that my emotions were messed up until my third year of Bible school. And then it was like God took me through this whole time of restoration. Maybe I'll share it sometimes. But I had no idea. I thought I was doing the right thing. And I was being way too hard on myself, which led me to be way too hard on others. And it was just a big mess that I didn't even know was there. But when you look to Jesus, when you set your focus on Him, what's amazing is if you will get your focus right and set on Jesus, then everything else comes into focus as well. Everything else that was distorted, everything else that you couldn't even see that you had so much to be thankful for. You couldn't even see the blessing of God on your life. You couldn't even see that God had given you that job and He was setting you up to go farther. You couldn't even see the blessing that your spouse is and how much you had taken them for granted. You couldn't see the beauty in your children. You couldn't see how much God had given you. When you look at Jesus, He begins to put everything else in perspective. And He takes your life, no matter where it's at, He will take you higher. Even if you're already doing well, if you will look to Jesus and you continue with Him, look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. No, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're looking at Jesus, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you set Jesus in your focus and you say, Lord, I am looking to You. I'm looking at the beauty of You. I am seeing how wonderful You are in Your word. I am looking at the way You lived and what You have commanded of me, Lord Jesus. When you are looking at Him and you are looking at His ways, what begins to happen in you is you begin to be transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. He begins to do a work inside of you. Do you know that the Bible says that He who began a good work in you, He will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus? Amen. Come on. Come on. The Bible says He works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 that we look unto Jesus. The author, did we pull it up? Yeah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But we look unto Him, and you know what He is? He is the perfecter of our faith. Yes. He's the one who perfects it inside of us. So when we begin to get Jesus in focus, we focus on Him, it develops faithfulness. So when you get focused, it will develop faithfulness inside of you. You see, we don't want the D's. We want the F's, okay? Not like school. We're not talking about school here. But the D's were distraction, distortion, and deception. But with the F's, we're talking on focus, faithfulness, and fruit.
Yes.
So when we focus on Jesus, we are inspired by the beauty of who He is. He is an awesome, mighty King, full of love and mercy. And He takes us from where we are. He loves us in the midst of it, and He pulls us up out of it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. And what that does is it develops inside of us a faithfulness to Him. Where we say, I no longer want to live my own will and do things my way. I let that go. Jesus, I'm looking at You. I want to live Your way now. I want to do things in line with Your word. And it doesn't mean that this is going to be easy, but it is going to produce in you an image that looks like God Himself. The Bible says that we have been predestined to be conformed to the likeness of God's Son. That is God's determined purpose for you, to make you look like Jesus. And so as we continue in this place of faithfulness, it's like Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will be in a place of refuge. You see, the fear of the Lord is saying, God, I can't do anything apart from You. I need you. But in that place of knowing your dependence upon him, it gives you confidence in life. Because you realize, I'm not living in my own strength now. I'm living in the strength of God. The Bible never says to be strong in your own strength. But the Bible says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know what that means? God's going to lead you past where your own strength can carry you. And he's going to lead you into places where you need to depend upon him. But you will be living the most awesome, extraordinary, extravagant life when you put your full confidence in him. When you stop living just based on what you can do and you begin to live on what God's called you to. It is the most miraculous lifestyle. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. What's this? You're being focused on him. In all of your ways, focus on him. Acknowledge him. And what is his promise? He will direct your path. He's going to show you where to go and what to do. You know what this means? Confusion is gone. In this place, there is clarity. In this place, there is understanding, there is peace, and there is joy. Even though it might not be easy on the flesh, because the flesh wants what's contrary to the spirit. But as you put it down, you say, no, I'm walking in God's way. I'm focused on Jesus. Amen. Then he begins to take you from glory to glory and strength to strength. Yes. You'll be going from a place of faith to faith. Yes. Hallelujah. Living in the strength of God. He has called us to live in this place where we are leaning and trusting in him and not in ourselves. And the flesh might be uncomfortable. The sin nature that still lives in this body is going to get really uncomfortable. Or maybe your thoughts are going to be at battle with what God is leading you to do. But as you focus on Jesus, he's going to bring you to an amazing place. You begin to know the leading of God's Spirit, and his voice becomes so much more clear in this place. In this place of faithfulness. Amen. In this place of looking to God and saying, God, I want to live your way. Then your spiritual ears begin to be developed. And you start knowing what God is saying. Yes. You know where he's leading. Yes. You have a sense on the inside to not do something. You have a sense and a leading by the Spirit of God to do something. Go for this job. Speak to this person. God begins to lead and to guide you into all truth. Jesus said that's what the Spirit would do. He would lead and guide us into all truth. And he would show us things to come. Yes. Jesus said, it's better for your sake that I go. Because unless I go, the Father will not send the promise of the Holy Spirit. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's actually pretty amazing that Jesus said it's better for our sake that he goes. But Jesus was just in one place at a time. And the Spirit of God is within us all. Yes. And Jesus is saying, this Spirit of truth, whom I will send in my Father's name, you could call him the Comforter. You could call him the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside to help you. He's going to show you how to live the way God's called you to live. He's going to show you how to live not just like a normal human, but to live as a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we continue in that, we get to a place of fruitful faith. Now, this is when life becomes really exciting. We begin to live beyond our own abilities, and we begin to see the impossible become possible. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, I quoted this earlier, but we begin to see that Jesus has become unto me my wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That now I have wisdom from God to know what to do in circumstances that I come up against. And as we're living this life of faith now, not living according to the world, but living according to the ways of God, we start to live like Daniel 11:32, where it says that those that know their God, they will be made strong and they will do exploits. We will be the people that stand out in the crowd, and we will be the people who once needed a lot of help. Now we're able to help the world around us. In John 14:12, Jesus said this. He says that those that believe in me, the works that I do, they're going to do also. And he said, even greater works than these will they do, because I'm going to my Father and I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon them. Remember, God's determined purpose is that you would be conformed to the likeness of his Son. He has the most extraordinary life for us, the most fulfilling life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. But that life is found in the face of Jesus. It is found when you continue to look on him, when you set him in your focal point. My aim is my focus, and my focus is Jesus. When I look at my family, I see what God has given me. When I look at my spouse, I see the one the Lord has given me. When I look at my job, Jesus, you have put me here for a reason. When you look at your career, your profession, wherever the Lord has led you to, you look at it with new eyes. When your eyes are fixed on Jesus and you begin to see, I'm not just here earning a paycheck. I am here on purpose for the kingdom of God. A paycheck is just a side bonus.
That's right. That's right.
You see, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all this other stuff that the world seeks. Yes. It's all just being added to me. But I'm seeking him first. I want his will and I want his plan. As you live like this, you will feel satisfied. In the midst of storms, you will have peace. In the midst of trial, you will have confidence. When everything is coming down upon you, you will have strength to stand up under the weight of it, because you're not living in your own strength. You're living in the strength that comes from God. And you are in a position where now you could strengthen the world, the people around you. And now when people wrong you, you're not taking offense. When somebody looks at you wrong, you're not up in arms. But you see them in a whole different light. You recognize hurting people hurt other people. Yeah. That there's something going on inside of them. Holy Spirit, are you calling on me to minister to this person? They just gave me a dirty look. Do you have something you want to say to them? You could see things change in a moment by the Spirit of God inside of you. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. You want to come up, Pastor Tom?
Sure.
The beginning of the service tonight was pretty heavy. God is very real. He sees you right where you're at. And he's not disgusted. He's not scared off. You know, in Psalms 139, David is speaking. And it became one of my favorite psalms. And I didn't even know why. As a teenager, I just read it over and over. But there's this one part in Psalms 139 where David says, "Where can I flee from your presence? Where can I go from you? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depths, you are there. If I try to hide in the darkness and surround myself with the night, even there, your eyes will find me, because darkness is as light to you." He sees you right where you're at. And if your focus has gotten off and you've been distracted by the things of this world, this is not just for the people in the room. This is for the people that are online as well. If you have become distracted and life has become distorted and you find yourself stressed out and frustrated and you're full of anxiety regarding the future instead of a joyful expectation of good, instead of hope, you have despair. I'm telling you tonight, you can make a decision to turn to God. To say, "Jesus, I want to look to you again. I want you to be the center again. Jesus, I focus on you, and I invite you to set everything else in focus and perspective as well." Father God, I pray for your people tonight. I pray, Lord, that they would set you, Jesus, as the focal point of their life. Not just when they go to church, not just when they pray, but in their whole day as they interact with people, as they go to their workplace, Father God, as they're shopping at the store, as they're raising their children, Lord, as they're going to school. I pray, Father God, that they would remember you throughout the day. That they would look to you, Jesus, and that they would look to walk in your ways that are higher, God. Trusting, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan for their life, faithful King. I pray, Lord, that you would touch each one, Lord, in the sound of my voice. I pray that you would touch them by your Spirit, God. That you would touch them with hope and joy again. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would rest on them heavily with peace in Jesus' name. That they would see again, and even more than ever before, that Jesus, you make all things beautiful in time. That if we will look to you and trust in you, God, Lord, you'll give us beauty for ashes and joy for mourning. You give a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, God. Wash over this church. Lead us to repentance, mighty King. And meet us where we are at, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.